This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
It is 7:45. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning. Joining us for the Israel Report this morning, Professor Eitan Gilboa, expert on on U.S.-Israel relations. And gosh, what a strange evening once again it was. Professor Eitan Gilboa, good morning. Just as we thought things were settling, we've had a very strange week, haven't we? Iran attacked the UAE 2 days in a row. Last night seem to have attacked U.S. Warships. The U.S. not really responding the way we thought they might, or maybe Iran hoped they might. What is going on?
Good morning, Howard. Not just last night, but also the whole week. Mm. Because every day we hear another development. Sometimes military confrontations, the next hour, a peace agreement just about to be signed. And so these developments are rapidly moving on, and you don't know what's going on. I think that as far as a peace agreement or an agreement to end the war is concerned, it might be just in the head of President Trump. He is known for saying things that he believes create realities.
Right.
But the United States made a proposal. Trump said several times that Iran has already agreed, for example, to move out the enriched uranium down from wherever it is, and also committing itself to refrain from enrichment for the next 15 years. These are wishful thinking, because we have not yet received any word from Tehran about this proposal. Also, Trump is saying time and again that he does not know who is calling the shots in Tehran. Mm-hmm. He said several times there are two groups in Tehran competing for control, inside control, and sometimes one group is saying one thing, another group saying exactly the opposite. So he is explaining why things are not going well in the negotiations. As for last night, it seems that the United States is trying to establish control over the Straits of Hormuz by moving three naval destroyers through the Straits. Iran obviously wants to keep its control over the Hormuz Straits, and therefore there were some exchanges of fire. Reports from Iran and the United States are contradicting each other, but I tend to believe the American report, especially coming from South Command, rather than those coming from Tehran. In any event, Trump has insisted that the ceasefire is still in place, and he considered those military exchanges to be just a matter of something that is not important.
So what is Iran hoping to achieve by that? Why attack the UAE 2 days in a row? Why attack American vessels. Is it trying to provoke a return to war for some reason? And if so, why? Or is it simply that there doesn't seem to be much central control in Iran?
No, I don't think that the Islamic regime in Tehran wants a resumption of war. So the attacks on the United Arab Emirates are not designed, are not a provocation to resume the war. I think they are very afraid of a war being restarted. So they attack the United Arab Emirates because it is an easy target, and because of the close relations between the United Arab Emirates and Israel. And they don't want to attack American forces in the Gulf. They don't want to do that, because if they were to do that, then Trump would resume full-scale warfare. And they do not want to attack Israel, because they know that if they were to attack Israel, this is going to bring a major Israeli attack on Iranian civilian infrastructure. So the attacks on the United Arab Emirates, which happened just a few hours ago, this is what we heard from the United Arab Emirates. This is like, they think that this is like an easy way of telling the United States that they are not prepared to give up on their most important interests.
So in other words, it's just a way to send a message without drawing them back into to very active conflict. That said, U.S. did hit Iranian ports. How significant is that?
So first of all, this is right. And the United States displays some weakness that the Iranians are detecting, and therefore are not that much willing to compromise. They feel that there is much opposition to the war inside the United States. Recent surveys have shown that about two-thirds of the American public is against the war. Trump is going to Beijing next week for a very significant summit with Xi Jinping, the president of China, a meeting that is designed to set up a framework for the relations between these two superpowers in the next few years. Trump hoped to have the war behind him when he goes to Beijing. And he thinks he got part of it, because he is talking about an agreement, a framework for an agreement. He is waiting now for an Iranian response that should come today. And he gave Iran 1 week to respond. So this 1 week will expire it will expire at the end of his visit to Beijing. And after that, there are also two major events in the United States, the beginning of the Mundial in June, and the 250th birthday of the United States on July 4th. Certainly, Trump is eager to go into these celebrations with the war behind him.
It's going to be really, really just fascinating to see how this plays out and how these pieces eventually fall. Let's shift focus just a little bit to talk about what is happening in Gaza with regard to Hamas being the move to disarm them, and what that whole front is looking like. Give us a sense of what is happening in Gaza with regard to Hamas.
The Trump's design for Gaza has cooled for the complete disarming of Hamas.
Mm.
But this is not only this is not happening, Hamas is reestablishing itself. It is accumulating weapons, and in about 55% of Gaza that is under its control. Hamas's leaders are saying day in, day out, that they are not prepared to disarm themselves, which means that no reconstruction of Gaza could begin. This is a major card that the United States and Israel have against Hamas. They are telling Hamas that if it would not disarm itself, there would be no reconstruction of Gaza. Not even 1 cent will go into Gaza. I don't think that Israel is considering resumption of war in Gaza. Israel feels comfortable with keeping about 55% of the area adjacent to Israeli towns and kibbutzim and villages attacked by Hamas on October 7th. So Israel has a significant, I would say, a security belt that it's going to keep until Hamas disarms. So there are two conditions for any major development in Gaza. One, Hamas has to disarm. Otherwise, there would be no reconstruction and no withdrawal of Israeli forces from the yellow line they are keeping right now.
So the likelihood there is that area really just becomes smaller and smaller. Hamas does land up controlling that small area, but Israel is much more protected. Is that how this is starting to look?
Yes, and this is also true for Hezbollah in Lebanon. We have many similarities between Gaza and Lebanon. Terrorist organizations taken over Gaza, Hamas in Gaza. Israel is now controlling a significant size of a significant area in South Lebanon. And Israel is telling Hezbollah and the government of Lebanon, and we need to make a distinction. Hezbollah is a mafia terrorist organization that has been controlling Lebanon for many years. The government of Lebanon is against Hezbollah. Many of Lebanese are against Hezbollah, including Shiites. Hezbollah is based on Shiite support in Lebanon. They don't want Hezbollah anymore to serve as an agent of Iran. I follow very closely exchanges on Lebanese media. And I found it very funny when Hezbollah people are saying, we defend Lebanon. You cannot defend Lebanon.
They destroyed
Lebanon. You are defending
Lebanon.
Iran. Mm. You are an agent of Iran.
Mm.
You are sacrificing Lebanon for foreign Iranian interests. And they are being challenged today as never before. But Israel is keeping an area like in Gaza, an area in South Lebanon, and is telling the government of Lebanon, as well as Hezbollah, there will be no Israeli withdrawal until Hezbollah disarms. And if Hezbollah does not disarm, then the present situation will continue. In the meantime, Israel is systematically destroying villages, houses in South Lebanon. And I hear all kinds of complaints about it. Why Israel is destroying houses in South Lebanon? These are not innocent houses. Almost in every house, you find weapons. Almost every house, Shiite house, was used as a military facility against Israel.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Professor Eitan Gilboa, thank you as always, expert on U.S.
Thank
and
you.
Israel relations. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. It is about to go 8 o'clock.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.